Welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Each day we'll look at a text from the weekly readings from the Westgate Church Bulletin. We will look at background material and also application of the text. So once again, welcome to the Illuminated Word Podcast. Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. This is the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist and the baptisms that he's going to perform in the Jordan River. So we're thinking geographically here, Judea, this would be the southern part of Israel. If you're looking at a map, Galilee is to the north. Samaria is kind of sandwiched in between, and Judea is to the south. And John the Baptist is going to be doing his ministry out in the wilderness of Judea, out at the Jordan River. So people will be coming from cities like, just say, Jericho or Jerusalem to come to John the Baptist to be baptized. So what is this baptism thing all about? And if you think about it like this, if you go and look at the Old Testament, and you're reading through, and you're going to read all the way Genesis to Malachi, and then you jump into Matthew. And here in chapter 3 of Matthew, let's say this is the first gospel you read, this baptism thing, you don't find this in the Old Testament. What's this all about? And there's some things that the gospel writers assume that you know when you pick up and you start to read, some things that had developed in what we call the intertestament period. That would be the time between the writing of Malachi and the writing of Matthew. That's a 450-year gap, and a lot happens. I mean, think about it. That's longer than the United States has been a nation. So a lot's going to develop in that 400-year period. So once you close Malachi, your last Old Testament prophet, and you jump into Matthew, there's been a lot of development religiously and culturally that's changed with God's people. So baptism would be something they would be familiar with. This would be loaded with all kinds of symbolism and meaning to these people. And what John the Baptist is calling them to do is very humbling, and I'll explain in just a minute why it's so humbling. Now, I don't want to get too much into my sermon material. I'm actually preaching from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 13, which is the parallel to this episode. So I don't want to preach my sermon here on Tuesday. So Sunday, I'll have a lot more information about this in my sermon. If you'll be here for that sermon, or if you want to listen to that online, you can on our YouTube channel. But we'll talk more about this Sunday. But there are some things I want to touch on here that I may not get to talk about on Sunday that will help you be prepared for that message. But let's just read through these verses and ask some questions of the passage. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins." So not a lot of information here. Here John the Baptist just comes preaching out of Judea, and his message is really simple: repent. In other words, have a change of mind. Metanoia here is the Greek word for repent. So have a change of mind. Some would say change of mind that leads to a change of life, and that's fine. That's a decent definition. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's kingdom is breaking into this world. So something's changing. Something is coming about. Kingdom language would be attached to messianic hopes. The Messiah is the king, the Christos, the anointed one. So with the coming of the Messiah would come the kingdom, of course. So you have this new kingdom that is coming about. He is connected to Isaiah. There was this prophecy that there would be one that would come before the Messiah called the forerunner that would come and prepare everyone for Messiah. So that's his role. So we know Messiah is coming really quick. So Matthew is telling you, John the Baptist comes. He's the forerunner. Some would call him the new Elijah. Now Messiah should be right on his heels. This description, verse 4, of John the Baptist would remind you of Elijah. So if you went back and looked at like 1 Kings 17 and some of those places, you would see descriptions of Elijah as you read through his life and his ministry. And this would remind you of him. He looked different. He ate weird things. He lived out in the wilderness. And in some ways, he was controversial, just like John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist is going to get in hot water really quick because he starts to call out political leaders and kings. And that's exactly what Elijah did. He called out the king of his time, Ahab, and caused trouble for him. And they wanted to have him killed. A lot of Elijah's life, he's on the run from King Ahab. So this sounds a lot like Elijah. Think about this. All Jerusalem, or all Judea, and all the region about them were going out to him. This is a very popular movement. I don't think we consider that enough, that John the Baptist has a big following. There's a lot of people going to John the Baptist. We know later, maybe 20, 30 years later, when you get in the book of Acts, even in Ephesus in Asia Minor, like we're talking hundreds of miles away, the Apostle Paul runs into people that are still followers of John the Baptist. So this is a very big movement. And Jews were going to him. They're being immersed in water. That's what baptism means. That's the simplest way to understand this. They are going through a water immersion ritual, and they are confessing sin. In other places, it's a baptism unto remission of sins, unto forgiveness of sins. It's a baptism of repentance. It's a baptism in which they're confessing sin. So there's this sense of when you come to baptism with John, you're going to confess your sins. You're going to make a change of life. You're going to bring your life into allegiance with God's kingdom call. You're going through a change of some kind. And baptism was something that was very popular. Well, not popular, maybe the wrong word, but very common with the Jewish people at this time. We know the Essenes were a group that lived out in the wilderness. Some think John the Baptist knew the Essenes or were familiar with them, but the Essenes went through what we would call ritual baptisms, full body immersions. They had what's called mikvahs. Mikvahs are what we would call baptistries. These were things dug into the ground, and they'd have steps that would go in and steps that would lead one out, and you would self-immerse. You would baptize yourself. So John the Baptist is doing the baptizing. That's interesting. A lot of these communities would just do self-immersion. But this immersion practice was very common. And we do know that when the Jews would make what's called proselytes, these would be converts to Judaism, a Jewish convert would have to undergo baptism. So if you were a Gentile, you would be immersed in water. If you were a male, you would go through circumcision. But if you just everyone had to go through immersion. And the thinking was, as you look at the rabbis and their reasoning for that was, the Jewish people passed through water from slavery to freedom at the Red Sea. And since you're not a Jew by birth or by lineage, you weren't in, so to speak, the loins of those people when they passed through the water. So you must be immersed in water to connect you with the Red Sea community. You must be liberated from that old way into the new way. Baptism was about this new life you were starting. Baptism was about leaving everything behind, but it was also very humbling. If you're telling Jews that they need to be baptized, that's a slap in the face to some Jews, because only the Gentiles were baptized. They were the ones that were going to go through baptism in order to be accepted into this new community. So this is telling the Jews something must change about you. The status quo is no longer acceptable with this new kingdom. Now individual repentance, now individual change is being called upon everyone because the kingdom is in breaking. And where is your allegiance going to fall? Will your allegiance be with the kingdom of God, or will it be somewhere else? And the ultimate sign of that allegiance would be baptism. Interesting stuff. Now we do know, just as a side note for Christians, those that were baptized by John's baptism, if we're inferring back into Acts chapter 19, they would have to undergo Christian baptism. So there was something different about Christian baptism, something even sacramental, I would go that far to say. Some may think, well, that's kind of crazy, that baptism is nothing but a symbol. And symbols, like, we don't even understand what that word means anymore in the 21st century, the word symbol. It's lost meaning that it had a long time ago, but something really did happen in Christian baptism. It was considered sacramental by the early church. And even by the Protestant reformers, believe it or not, they believed something happened in baptism. In modern America, in religious circles, we've lost the sacredness of baptism. It's just become this mere thing that people do just to be obedient to the command of Christ, which that's a good reason too, but it's not everything that's happening in baptism. I do believe what we as Christians have failed to ask is, what is God doing in baptism? And that is grace-filled. That's not a work-filled event, by the way. If you get in that grace works argument, which is the most ridiculous argument when it comes to baptism, but if you get into that argument, it's really, what is God doing to us in our baptism? And if we're not asking that question, we're missing the point of large portions of teaching on baptism in the New Testament. So just need to say that, just pointing that out, because that's really a problem, especially in the South, that we have a really
low view of baptism in evangelical circles that really is just not historical and it's not biblical. But this baptism that John is doing is a marker. Something is changing in history. This is a radical change that's happening. You're calling Jews to repentance. You're calling Jews to this event that usually is relegated to Gentile converts. Now, there's one other way that you can look at baptism, and I don't want this to stretch into a long podcast, but one other way to look at baptism is the ritual washings of the priest. Priests would have to go through full body immersions, and they would have mikveh, a baths that they would go through to become ceremonially clean. So you can look at baptism in that way. There's this cleanliness ritual. But I do think what John is doing is a little bit different. John's baptism is a little bit more radical. It's more of a break with the old and stepping into a new way of looking at things. It is a humbling experience. And some people would say really quick that marks Christian baptism out too. And I don't have time to get into this today, but the argument about infant baptism versus believer baptism, that if we're kind of following this track of development and thought with John the Baptist, there's this call to personal repentance, personal change, personal humbling, coming before the Lord saying, you know, I have nothing that I bring to this, Lord. I'm humbling myself that I'm going to be immersed in water and go through this new birthing, so to speak, into this new world, this new epic. Well, I hope this has helped today to clear up some of what's going on in John's baptism and this unique thing that happens in the Bible that just shows up here in the biblical record. This is a big deal, what John's doing, and it's going to upset some Jewish leaders, and rightfully so. What he's calling them to do is very offensive to some Jewish people. But it is a quick reminder to us that God has called all of us to repentance, all of us to humble ourselves and to confess our sin and realize who we are and our need for salvation. Well, I hope you have a great day, and I hope you join us tomorrow. Devin will be leading you once again in these podcasts. God bless.